lots of different things. When we, at the end of that, I don't know if you were noticing, we were still in the throne room when everybody raised just their voices in prayer. And I started laughing because all the angels are in there singing, "Holy, holy, holy." When we started, they all turned their heads. The song of the redeemed is something they can't sing. It's a unique worship, and it draws their attention. So when you are worshiping, they hear it too, and it causes them to worship even more.
Hallelujah.
So that's what I saw before that. So before we get started, let's pray, because that's fun. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you because you are our everything. You are our provider. You are our source. God, I ask that you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts and our minds to understand. Show us places, God. Shine light in dark areas, Lord, that we will constantly live in your light. We thank you for today. Have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. In your precious name, amen. Okay, so a while ago, I think Bruce was preaching, I was listening, and I tend to go off and read my own things while he's reading verses. I read before and after and hear what he's saying, and all of a sudden God said, "Believe." And I said, "Okay. Believe. Study. Believe. Okay, I can do that." Then we were talking yesterday, I think, or Friday, one of the two. And he said, Bruce said something about the unbelieving believer. And I was like, "Ooh, how do you do that? How do you live there?" Well, to believe, the opposite of it is unbelief, right? So I went looking even further, and it brought me to Abraham. Well, then Terry starts out the service with that little note, that little story. And I don't know if you were in here, but I walked over and told him, that was right on. It's all about focus. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip to the end of my... And I promise I'll go back to the beginning. But I'm going to skip to the end real quick. And the 2 points I want to make. Belief comes through intimate heart knowledge, not head knowledge, heart knowledge of who he is. Unbelief, here's where Terry gave you the answer, comes when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Belief comes through intimate heart knowledge. Unbelief comes when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Now, and it brought a thought to my head, because I was like, Lord, what area do I decide to keep a little unbelief working? And he brought up work to me. It can get a little frustrating. People, different people, unsaved people. It can be frustrating. And one of my best friends works at the same company I work at, and she'll call me and talk to me, and she goes, "You're not focusing on the right thing." No, I'm not. I should be focusing on God and what he's going to do in this. And she's the physical reminder on this earth for me. Where's my focus? Where is my focus? So those are the 2 points. Now let's go back and talk about them. And I'm going to need a lot of this because I am dry. So we're going to actually take a little bit of a look at Abraham. He's a guy who I'm sure most of you know his story. And he ended up in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews. God counted him faithful in his faith and how he walked. And God told him to leave and didn't even tell him where he was going. That takes faith. Okay, I'm going to skip to Genesis 15, 4 and through 6. We're going to skip to the part where God comes, physically comes, and he makes a covenant with Abraham. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir." Now, before this, Abraham is saying, "I don't have any kids. So this man who works for me and lives in my household will be my heir." And God's saying, "Uh-uh." He's got a plan. "But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And take him outside," and said, he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars." Have you ever done that on a clear night and looked up and seen the multitude of stars? There's no way he's going to count the stars, right? And he tells him to count them if you are able. And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Here's the key. Verse 6. "Then he," Abraham, or Abram at this point, "believed in the Lord. And he credited to him as righteousness." I looked up that word "believed" in Hebrew. And I was like, wow. Here's why. Confirm, support, okay, things that we would expect to hear about believe. But the next one said pillars. And the next one said supporters of the door. I didn't expect that when looking up the meaning of believed. Supporters of the door, to me, paints a picture, holds up the frame where those are. If you don't have the stuff around it, the door's just going to fall over, or it's not going to be a door at all. If you have belief, it becomes the supporters of the access. Supporters of the access. If you don't have belief, you don't have access. Whew. Made firm, sure, lasting, established, and faithful. Faithful, I think, is the one we tie with belief the most, is our faith. But I loved seeing that. We build on a sure foundation. If you walk in belief, you're building support around a door that gives you access to the true source of life in every area. We believe. Why? Because he is faithful. He is just. He is loving. He is. The great I am. He is. We believe because of that. He believed. Abraham believed because of that. The next one. We believe because we know the voice of the Good Shepherd. So after that promise, Abraham and Sarai at that time, she was not Sarah yet, Abraham was not Abraham yet, he was Abram. They go on living their life. They have a promise. They're old people who generally don't bear children at that age. They go on living life, and they're waiting for the promise. Genesis 16:2. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children." Really? But we can get there. We're going to help God. Yeesh. "Please have relations with my slave woman. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abram listened. We can have well-intentioned people trying to help. We can have not so well-intentioned people trying to help. But if we know the voice of the Lord, we won't stray. We won't go off. Now, Abraham listened to him. They listened to her. And as you know, Ishmael was born, and that became a big problem. There was big consequences. But it doesn't mean that God said, "Okay, I'm done." His promise and his covenant was everlasting. But it didn't wipe away the consequences. But he stayed true. He will never leave us nor forsake us. John 10:26-27. "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." To walk in belief and to keep our access to the source, we need to know his voice and be hearing his voice constantly. Believe in the New Testament, by the way, is everything you would expect. Place trust in or on, rely on. But what I really liked about it too is it says this last one, you commit your life to. You commit every part of who you are to. Now, I know math, backwards, forwards, up, down, whatever way you want to do it. Up here. I do not believe in math. I don't commit my life to math. I don't rely on math. I rely on something that is worthy. Someone who is worthy, and that is my Lord. There's a difference between, I talked about that earlier, and we'll talk about it again, heart knowledge and head knowledge. Another one why we believe is because God is greater than our mistakes. And we see that in so many different characters in the Bible. Abraham is what we're looking at, but David, you can think of that one. Even Joseph and all of them. He's greater than those mistakes. That's why we keep believing. That's why we keep getting back to where we need to be. Even after they do this, God reiterates his original promise to Abram. Genesis 17:3-7. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall you be named Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, And I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. To be God to you and to your descendants after you. You will be fruitful, exceedingly fruitful. You will be fruitful. You will be fruitful. You will be exceedingly fruitful. It's an everlasting covenant. He doesn't break it. You are exceedingly fruitful. And he didn't remove any consequences, but he still saw Abraham, and he renamed him. That's a message in and of itself. But he still saw him as his child. We believe no matter what our circumstances. I think that's where we start walking in unbelief sometimes because of what's facing us. In this spot, and you guys all know this story, Abraham's come to a place of sure and established belief. And Isaac is going to learn a lesson in belief. Genesis 22, 7 to 8. Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb?" That would be a question if you're going to sacrifice an offering, right? Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Before this, obviously, God said, "Go sacrifice your son to me. He's the promise." Have any of you ever been asked to sacrifice something that you thought was the promise? And he said, "Okay." You know what? It would almost be fun to hear what he was thinking all the way up to that mountain. "Okay, God. Okay, ooh, pray, lots of prayer." But he was going to be obedient no matter what. And he was to the point of he bound him and put Isaac and put him on top of the altar. He was ready. And God stopped him. That's belief. That's belief in the God of the promise. That's belief in God's power. That's belief in the source. His source. God is his source of the promise. I liked another one in the New Testament. It's Paul in jail, beaten badly. And in jail. And what's he doing? He's worshiping. He's singing. He's worshiping. And an earthquake comes. They're all loose in the prison. And not one of them leaves. In Acts 16, 29 to 31. And the jailer asked for lights and rushed in. Now, the jailer, if anybody would have escaped, they would have killed him. Kind of a not so great spot to be in. And the jailer asked for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. They said, believe. Most of us have done that believe, I think. Anybody that hasn't done that believe? Believe in the Lord and you will be saved. We like that one. In these circumstances that throw us, when we lose our sight of God, we lose proper perspective. Our vision becomes tainted by what's going on around us, this world and its agenda. We lose focus. The next one, we believe because his words are spirit and life. John 6, 63 to 64. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh provides no benefit. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. People that had been following him. People that had been listening to him every day. But they didn't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that did not believe, who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And I read this and I was like, unbelief can lead to betrayal. That struck me. Unbelief in your work situation, in your relationship situation, in your family situation, in your relationship with your children can lead to a betrayal. Which is the exact opposite of who we are, which is the Spirit gives life. We believe because his words are spirit and life. And that brings me back to the vision I've had so many times. I see us going out, and everywhere we go, we leave puddles of life everywhere we go. Walking through Walmart, you're leaving puddles of life, touching lives. At work, when I have to go up to Minnesota, am I leaving puddles of life? When I'm on the phone with coworkers from here, am I leaving puddles of life? Or am I sowing betrayal? Am I sowing division? Because I'm walking in unbelief. With your children, how are you speaking? Are you leaving puddles of life? Or are you sowing bitterness? Are you provoking them? With your parents, are you sowing and leaving puddles of life behind? Or are you sowing rebellion? Are you walking in belief in who God is and what he is? Or are you walking in unbelief and sowing betrayal? Now I'll go back to the end again. Belief comes through intimate heart knowledge of who he is. We have to know who he is in order to believe in everything that he is. We have to know, experience who he is. In order for me to be love out there And in every relationship I have, I need to know what He is, and that is that He is love. In order for me to be life and leaving life behind everywhere I go, I need to know that His Spirit is life. And I need to know that here. I need to know Him intimately, to be able to be Him out there, to be able to be Him with you, and with you, and with you, and with you. I need to do what He said, is focus on that cup of water, focus on the Holy Spirit and what He's doing, instead of, oh, that person, that they shouldn't be worshiping that way. They shouldn't be saying that. He needs to be who I am so that I can be His light and who He is. When we believe, we know who the great I am is. We know His voice. We know that He's greater than our mistakes and our circumstances. And we know that His Spirit's our His Spirit is life. His words are life. Abraham, get all the way through it. The promise is fulfilled and is still being fulfilled today because it's everlasting. Did he screw up? Yeah. But he learned as he went along what walking in faith looked like, what walking in belief looked like. And I want to learn that, so that I don't have a wake that I have to keep cleaning up. What mess did I make this time? Gotta clean it up. I don't wanna be doing that. I wanna be walking in belief. I don't wanna be the believer that's walking around the mountain of salvation. Only. I can't do that quick enough, so I'm not gonna show you, because it hurts. I don't wanna be this believer walking around the mountain of salvation. Salvation is incredible, but there's so much more. He knows the more. He is the source. Walk in belief in every area. Unbelief comes when we take our eyes off Jesus. When we don't believe, we run the risk of betrayal, of broken relationships, of bad consequences, and of self-doubt. All of those things to me tells me I don't know who I am, because I don't know who He is. If I'm walking in that stuff, I don't know who I am because I don't know who He is. If I'm walking in belief, I know who He is, and I know who I am because of Him. I read this quote, and the title of this, if you want to know now that we're almost done, the title at the top of my page says, "Unbelieving Believer?" Question mark. Am I an unbelieving believer? And if so, God, show me where those places are. Show me those places. And I want you to listen to this, and then I'm going to read it twice. This is a quote from a guy that actually spoke on this as well. Every worry is a declaration that God is not big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to take care of me. Every outburst is a declaration that I am better able to defend my rights than God. Every disobedience is a declaration that I know better than God. And so, without meaning to, I trim His sails. I limit His scope. With each such instance, I drop anchor in unbelief and live like who I was instead of who I am. That was Dave McNeff. Now, I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to have you close your eyes. And I want you to ask God, is there a spot in my life where I'm dropping anchor in unbelief? Every worry is a declaration that God is not big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to take care of me. Every outburst is a declaration that I am better able to defend my rights than God. Every disobedience is a declaration that I know better than God. And so, without meaning to, I trim his sails, I limit his scope. With each such instance, I drop anchor in unbelief, and I live like who I was instead of who I am. Where is your unbelief living? Where is your unbelief living? The disciples, there's many stories, but when he sent them out to go heal, cast out demons, to minister, they end up coming back. And a father brings his son to Jesus and said they couldn't do it. They just stepped into themselves instead of who the source was. They stepped into unbelief instead of staying in belief in who the source was. Where is your unbelief living? Is it in your thoughts towards or behaviors towards your relationships, your marriage, your job, your children, your finances? I like this one. Your temperament. I can't. I was just made this way. Here's another good one. In your past mistakes. Is that where your unbelief is living? I can't because I did this. I can't love because I had this happen. I can't love because I did this. They keep coming back to the puddles of life. I don't want to be going through life in unbelief. I want to have access through belief. I want to have access to everything and who he is. That's when we change this world. That's when we change your sphere of influence. Because you will meet people that I will never meet. You get to speak into lives that I will never meet, and vice versa. I go up to Minnesota on a consistent basis, and I speak into lives of people at work. Who tell me, not every family is like yours. And I said, nope, but you can. Because we show, we want, our goal is to show what love looks like. Now, do I do it all the time? Don't ask anybody I live with. I try. But there are moments, I'm sure. I want to be love to those around me. I don't want to sow anything else because I don't want to reap it. I want to show and sow belief. Speak belief. Speak truth to someone that comes to you that has a problem. Speak the truth of who God is in that situation, and you'll become a planter of belief. Those seeds. Now, I will give you an opportunity if you would like, and someone will come pray with you. If God showed you areas, or if he does during my prayer, to come up here and shine some light in those places that you're letting unbelief live. Someone will come pray with you, whether it's me or someone else. I can still stand. I took some Advil. But ask God to shine a light on those places, because the healthier we become, the more effective we are in helping others and showing them who God is. Lord, help us be aware. Help us be aware every moment of every day what you're doing, because you said to us that you spoke what the Father said, and you did what the Father was doing. If we focus on you, we will be doing those same things and walking in belief and becoming pillars to the door of access to the source of life. Help us recognize our patterns of thought or behaviors where unbelief has taken root, and rip it out and replace it with who you are. Replace it with belief that births faith in the God with whom all things are possible. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our thoughts. Lord, show us as we go through our days where there may be a root of unbelief. The beautiful thing about you, God, is that you will show us, and then you are also the one that helps instantly. That you still see us as a precious, beloved child. That you still see us as part of the everlasting covenant. We thank you because you love us beyond what we could even imagine or think. We give you this day. We give you this week. Cause us to grow. Cause us to know you even greater in new ways, to learn more and more of who you are so that we can be who you are to this world. We thank you and we love you in your precious name. Amen.